Okay, first I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation to give this talk here. Well, I will talk about the appearance of magnetization plateau in the quasi-two-dimensional strongly correlated electron systems. First, my name here is correct, but my affiliation was wrong, so just avoid problems with my employer. This is work I have done in collaboration with different people: Alessandro De Martino, Marcelo Greenberg, Andreas Honecker, Pierre Pouchot, and Pascal Simon. And, well, I have to be brief, but I would like to make first an introduction on the issues that have interested me and that have relation to what I'm going to discuss. And then I will summarize our previous results on purely magnetic systems and magnetization plateau, and I will try to present some new results on how a system where some doping dependent magnetization plateau appears. Okay, so the first thing that you all know about is the well-known Haldane's conjecture. It appears in the study of one-dimensional Heisenberg chains with this Hamiltonian and anti-ferromagnetic coupling. And, well, this conjecture states that when S is an integer, you have a spectrum in the gap and correlations decay exponentially, while if S is a half integer, then you have a gapless spectrum and a power law decay of correlators. Well, there is the original approach with the nonlinear sigma model made by Haldane and Affleck, and also an abelian bosonization argument by Schultz, and a lot of numerical data for Lau S supports this conjecture. And, well, recently we also provided proof values, in particular for small values of S using conformal embeddings. So I'm not going to talk about this now, but I can discuss details after talk with people interested. So the second issue that is somehow related to this appeared in the study of spin ladders. And surprisingly, at first at least, when people studied a number of spin 1/2 chains coupled together, they discovered that for n even there was a gap in correlations in the spectrum and then exponentially decaying correlators. While if you keep an odd number of chains, the spectrum is gapless and correlators decay algebraically. Again, there is a large NS mapping to the nonlinear sigma model made by Sierra, who has done an extension of original Haldane's and Affleck work. There is also numerical data, at least in the isotropic case where J and J prime are equal, that supports clearly this difference between even and odd number of chains coupled together. And in the weak coupling limit, there is also the strong coupling limit, which clearly distinguishes these two cases, where with strong coupling limit I mean J prime, the interchain coupling much larger than the other one. In the weak coupling limit is not so clear. In fact, what we have seen from Solium's talk that if you also add an XXZ anisotropy, things become even more subtle. Well, the third issue related to these things, so maybe I... Can I write here? Just to show that all these things are related. Well, probably you all know about this. So in the one-dimensional case, you have that whenever S is an integer, you have a spin gap. And for n ladders, n-leg ladders in general, with spin S, this quantity needs to be an integer to have a spin gap. So in terms of magnetization curves, if you look at the magnetization as a function of the applied magnetic field, you will find a plateau at zero magnetic field. So the third issue is appeared and related to this is to these two is the study of magnetization plateau in one-dimensional spin system. Well, there were a few original papers by some Japanese people. I think the first one was by Kazuo Hida, who studied a trimerized one-dimensional chain and found the first evidence for plateaus. And there is some recent experimental evidence in a spin one-dimensional chain of a 1/2 plateau, of 1/2 of saturation. And after these papers, there was a more general treatment of this issue made by Yoshikawa, Shamanaka, and Affleck in 1997, and they presented a generalization of Lipschultz-Mathis theorem and also an abelian bosonization argument, and they concluded that the magnetization has to fulfill this quantization condition here in order to the magnetization curve could have a plateau. Here P is the periodicity of the Hamiltonian, S is the spin of the chain. So in the case of one-dimensional chains, then we have that P times S 1 minus M must be an integer in order to the magnetization curve have a plateau. This is a necessary condition, and in fact in some cases these plateaus do not show up. For example, for homogeneous higher spin chains there are no plateaus observed, at least in the isotropic case. So this condition, one has to analyze different cases with in more detail, and in particular we have studied some specific case of spin 1/2, and we have shown that these plateaus in general will be present, and I will say more in a few minutes. So the fourth issue is then the extension of this to the case of N-leg ladders, which is following natural question somehow. And what we have found is that the previous result on one-dimensional spin chain simply generalizes adding an N here, where N is the number of legs. Of course, again, this is in general a necessary condition, and we have studied in the spin 1/2 case different models that I will try to summarize now. So more precisely, what we have done, we have used three complementary techniques. We have used abelian bosonization, we have used strong coupling analysis and numerical techniques, so numerical diagonalization, mainly Langstroth's technique, and we have obtained the following results. So in the case of the N-leg ladder system, we have seen that the appearance of plateaus are conditional in the sense that they open up at some critical value of the interchain coupling. In particular, for example, for the three-leg ladder, we predicted a plateau at 1/3 of magnetization that will open up at this very small value of the interchain coupling. We also have studied the pimerized chains, that means one-dimensional chain where there is some periodic modulation of the couplings with period P, and we have shown that in this case the condition, which is just the special case of Oshikawa, Shamanaka and Affleck conditions for spin 1/2, if I wrote it correctly, yeah, is a sufficient condition at least when you take XXZ and isotropy is close to 1, and we also studied the opening of these plateaus as a function of the XXZ and isotropy. Well, the following thing we studied is a combination of these two effects, so, I mean, interchain coupling and a periodic modulation, and we found a much richer phase diagram in the case of, even in the very simple case of a two-leg ladder with dimerization, and we found that the plateaus in this case are not only conditional to the existence of critical couplings, interchain, XXZ and isotropy and dimerization, but also to the topology of couplings. And for example, in the case of a two-leg dimerized ladder, you can have these two different topologies. And for example, the plateau at the magnetization 1/2 is present in this case, while it is absent in this case here. And well, much more recently, we have extended our results on N-leg ladders to zigzag N-leg ladders, and well, mainly the same quantization condition on magnetization is satisfied, but the critical couplings where the plateau open is just shifted by a simple factor of 1/2. Okay, let me show you some pictures that were obtained numerically, just to show that these plateaus could be observable if there should be some materials with this structure. For example, in the trimerized case, the magnetization curve shows a clear 1/3 plateau. These are plotted for dimerization equal to 0.5. And for P equals 6, you also have clear plateaus at 0, 1/3, and 2/3. So one should expect that finite temperature effects, at least at very large temperatures, should not wipe completely out these plateaus. Also for the three-leg ladder, the And so this ratio of coupling, so J prime over J of the order of 3 at zero temperature, you have this numerical magnetization curve. Well, these dots are obtained by strong coupling analysis. And so again, this is quite a clear plateau. The problem is that the only candidate, at least I know, for a three-leg ladder material is this strontium copper oxide, which has a very strong coupling. So the magnetic fields needed to observe this plateau are quite huge. I don't know, they are 2,000 Tesla, so they are somehow unobservable. So until what time can I? 5? I started later. Okay. Okay, let me then go to the new systems we have studied. That is, we have studied the extension of this. Oh, I missed one transparency. The extension of this problem to Hubbard systems. That means now with when charge carriers are present. Well, I missed my main transparency, so I have to say it in words. Well, what we have found is that if we consider, I'm sorry, but I missed one transparency, so I will just write it down. What we have studied the polymerized Hubbard chain. And we have found that plateaus in the magnetization curve also appear in this case. And so I have to simply show you how these results were obtained using Abelian bosonization. So what we did is the following. We considered a Hubbard chain in the presence of a magnetic field and with arbitrary filling, where in which the Hopping amplitude has some periodic modulation. So what we have done is through Abelian bosonization, this has been done by Penck and Solium, and you can find a low energy effective Hamiltonian, which is described in terms of two bosons that in the case in which you have a magnetic field are not separated, so you have a mixture of charge and spin degrees of freedom in this case, and the perturbation term that appears that will appear to the free bosonic Hamiltonian, which is simply the sum the sum of two bosonic Hamiltonians for the charge and spin, if we can call like this bosonic fields. Once you turn on this polymerization, so once you add the modulation on the Hopping amplitude, you find that there are these operators perturbing the Hamiltonian, the original Hamiltonian, and then you have, in order to see whether there is a gap or not to excitations, you can see that there are oscillating factors here that will tell you when these operators will survive the continuum limit. In this case, K plus and K minus are just the combinations of the original Fermi moment of the original fermions. And what you can see is that if these two conditions are satisfied, where N is the filling and M the magnetization, P is the period of the Hopping amplitude, if these two conditions are satisfied, all these operators here are commensurate, so you have a fully gapped situation. So that means that you have a charge gap and a plateau in the magnetization curve. But the most interesting thing is that if only one of these conditions is satisfied, so only one of the operators is commensurate, so it's better to go back to the original up and down bosonic fields to see what happens. And since only one of the previous operators is commensurate, you have this situation here, so you have a spin up boson with some relevant perturbation, while this spin down boson is in principle gapless. But what we also will do is to constrain N to be fixed, which seems to be natural from the experimental point of view. And in that case, although you have gapless dynamic, you have a plateau in the magnetization curve. Well, there is a very simple argument that shows you that this is true, because this, since n is constrained to be fixed and you have a gap to the excitations with spin up, then this will lead to a plateau as far as you keep n fixed. We also computed the specific heat, which was a linear behavior in T, while magnetic susceptibility is exponentially decaying. So that's interesting because it combines a massless dynamics with a plateau. We also did a complementary analysis, that means a weak coupling in U, in the Haber coupling, and strong dimerization, and we got completely consistent results. In particular, the width of the plateau is independent of U at first order, so the first correction appears at order U squared. So why is this? Why are these new plateaus maybe more interesting than the previous one? Once apart from this issue that there are gapless modes on top of the plateau, is that you have only one condition that has to be satisfied, which is this one on top, up on top. So you see that you have a doping dependent value of the magnetization at the plateau. And that would imply, I mean, if you can tune the feeling, that would mean that you can lower the magnetization and these plateaus could be observable. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry? No, what I said is that if you can, so what we have, oh, but for purely magnetic system. Yeah, there is one paper, there are a few, but one is on spin one dimerized chain, and they have seen a plateau at 1/2 of saturation. There are more recent works, there are two-leg ladder materials where they have been observed plateaus at 1/4 and 3/4 of, I can give you the references. Well, this is a one-dimensional chain, and we were working in the thermodynamical limit. So.
For the open boundary,
it should matter for an infinitely long.
No, this is an infinitely long chain, yeah.
I'd like to make a comment on the last part of it. So it seems to me that if you try to be independent of correlation or even of dimension, if you imagine a system described by electron, non-interacting electron, with the boundary is almost full, and then a gap to an end boundary, then if you switch on the magnetic field, you feel the boundary spin up.
Yeah, well.
And you have a gap again.
Yeah. In fact, well, I had one more transparency that I didn't show. But for example, if I am allowed, if you take p equals 3, you can, and take u equals 0, you can compute, I mean, you can diagonalize and find the band structure for trimerized Haber for u equals 0. And then you can argue what you are saying. I mean, this should be the situation of a doping-dependent plateau when one of the chemical potential, say for the down spins, is in the middle of the gap, and the other one is in the middle of a band. So this can be varied continuously, but you have to pay the gap to find to increase magnetization. So, that's true.
Well, that would suggest it should be quite a common phenomenon.
Okay, maybe we'll meet the...